Hey, everybody. It's great to be back with you here. Welcome to the Cantori Show, Chris Cantori Show, whatever you want to call it. Also want to remind you, we're up on Patreon. Just search the last name Cantori, C-A-N-T-O-R-E, on Patreon and join our little community because we're redoing stuff. We're rebooting those efforts, if you will. I'm going to do it different this time around. But still doing what we're doing here, whatever that is. I know what we're doing here. We're doing a podcast that involves me interviewing a lot of surfers, skaters, sometimes politicians, musicians, today comedians, Cheech and Chong. This is a big deal, especially when I think back to myself as a kid and putting on all the Cheech and Chong movies and making sure I didn't get caught by my parents, you know, watching them. And listening to their records, endless. I used to listen to Cheech and Chong records, Eddie Murphy records, Pryor, Rodney Dangerfield, all the greats. And to get these two greats on a Zoom together is a big deal. And I do want to thank March and Ash, one of our sponsors, for making that possible. In fact, and we'll talk about it in this interview, Cheech has his own line of cannabis called Cheech's Stash. And then Tommy has Tommy Chong's cannabis. Both available at March and Ash, marchandash.com, where you can order online for curbside pickup or delivery. And then they have in-store, Mission Valley, City Heights, Chula Vista, out in Imperial, and coming soon, another shop in Chula Vista, and then IB. It's crazy how fast they're expanding, and they're a local family operation, giving you the best in cannabis, legal, licensed, safe access, you name it. They're really the best. marchandash.com. Now, before I do talk to Cheech and Chong here, I also want to thank Baja Bound Mexican Auto Insurance. Anytime, and you might notice this in a lot of my interviews, I talk to somebody, I often bring up Mexico. And I do that here with Cheech and Chong, and that's by design, because not only do I love Mexico and Baja, but one of our sponsors who have been with us since day one, Baja Bound, Mexican Auto Insurance, love Jeff and the crew, another family independent operation. And if you're heading south, make sure you hook up with Baja Bound. You can get your car, actually a lot of your personal belongings, insured in a matter of minutes. Super easy through the website, and these folks insure everybody from pro surfers to people who take part in the Baja, what is it, the Baja 5000? I forget what they call it. The thing when they're racing the cars down there, and all my really tough friends who can build cars from the ground up, they take part. You know what I used to do down there that I miss is they used to do the bike ride. It was called like the 50-mile fun ride or something. I never found biking 50 miles to be fun, but the after party sure was. So if you're heading south of the border, BajaBound.com, as we talk to two legends, one who actually released a movie years ago that I love. Do you remember Born in East L.A.? Oh, that was the greatest, with Cheech and Chong. And we pick up, by the way, with the guys talking about Aaron Rodgers and all the controversy regarding the vaccination and him lying and that whole thing. So that's where we pick up here.
Was that Aaron Rodgers that woke you?
How that guy could look straight in the camera and lie his ass off.
He's like a quarterback.
Nobody's watching.
He always pretends he has the ball when he doesn't. He's already given it off to the halfback. So he's an excellent liar.
He's the worst.
That's like we look straight in the. I mean, it's one thing to lie, but it's one thing to look straight into the camera on national TV or that's.
Look how much money he's affected.
Yep.
Everybody that depends on him for a job.
I mean, starting to get wonky, you know, already. You could see him, you know.
He was getting weird.
Yeah, he was getting weird. When he went on Jeopardy and then didn't get the hosting, he kind of like, hey, what can I do?
How about when he beat Chicago and he says, to Chicago, I own Chicago. Did you hear me do that?
Yes. Yeah. Full on megalomaniac.
Yeah. He makes a touchdown. He doesn't make a touchdown. The guy who threw the ball did. Made a touchdown. And then Aaron runs up and goes, I owe Chicago. And right then I thought, that's not a good smart thing to say. Because your words always come back to bite you.
Aaron, have some more cheese.
Yeah, he yelled that at a lady who flipped him off in the stands. He yelled at a fan, even worse.
Yeah. What?
But right straight into the camera. What was it?
Immunized. I'm immunized.
I love it when he said he takes his medical advice from Joe Rogan.
Oh, that killed me. That killed me. That was hysterical. I took advice from Joe Rogan.
God. And like Rex Chapman said, you know, those athletes, they shoot themselves up with cortisone and steroids and
exactly. Everything
else. Just to go out and play. You know, they shoot themselves up with everything.
Maybe it went to his brain. Made his brain numb.
Hey, listen, you get smacked around by those 300-pound linemen. Yeah. You know, those guys can hurt you just by trying to help you.
That's what Stern was saying. Stern went off on Aaron Rodgers the last couple of days. And yesterday, he's like, he's so dumb because he got hit in the head too much.
Just went straight
after him. I was like, damn, dude.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Like many, I'll tell you guys, I grew up watching your movies and listening to your comedy albums in the 70s and 80s. So to get you guys together, this hits hard.
I hate it when really old people say that.
Isn't that the worst? The 51-year-old guy saying that. You're like, son of a bitch. That's hysterical. But that it's damn like true.
What's that one where the Michael Douglas was in the Minsky something or other?
Which one?
Oh, Kaminsky Report.
The Kaminsky Report. And he's the guy that his buddy, Alan Arkin, told him the same thing. Yeah, well, you know, girls half your age are still old.
It's so true. And when I meet people my age, I'm like, damn, that dude's old. And I'm like, oh shit, we're the same age.
You're the youngsters, man. You're the youngsters.
But do you guys get together often, or is this rare to have the two of you in an interview form?
No.
It's both. It's whatever Chief says.
Yeah. Sometimes it's rare. Sometimes it's medium rare.
Of course. Now, do you guys talk a lot IRL in real life? Do you guys go back and forth?
We see each other. We live next door to each other. That's the thing.
So. Well, we do a lot of mental telepathy.
Yeah.
I think we know what each other's thinking, regardless of where we're at or what's going on.
It's not really necessary to speak anymore.
Yeah, you just are all on the same. You're on the same wavelength and universe and energy field and all that good stuff.
Yes.
I've been asked lately, you know, what is your purpose? What do you want to accomplish next? And so I got the perfect answer. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, I really want everybody, the world, because Cheech and Chong can save the world. I want everybody in the world to make Cheech and Chong the richest men in the world. and it can be done. I'm serious. It can be done. Because we have product now. If the billions of people on the planet just buy our product, which is good for
a lot of our product,
we can become the richest entities on the planet, because we know how to waste money.
You know how to blow cash and blow.
We know, and that helps the economy.
What you know, and we have helpers too.
Hey, listen, I've been with these rich Trumpies, and they're the type that will park their car in the street so they can stiff the car guys.
Of course.
And they're bitching about paying millions or billions in taxes, and they will stiff. They'll walk miles to save whatever it is they're saving, you know. Well, you make Cheech and Chong the wealthiest people on the planet. And we can't be just almost. We got to be the wealthiest people.
Totally acknowledged all over the world.
We will create paradise on this planet.
Yes, very good.
And is that what you guys talk about when you guys do connect? You talk about how you're going to take over the world at this time of your lives?
No, we only talk about this stuff when we're doing interviews.
Yeah. Or we're going to have that really good indica.
This year does mark the 50th anniversary of Cheech and Chong, needless to say. Would you have ever guessed it or have imagined it back in the 70s? Yeah.
Yeah, because we've come to learn that marijuana cuts through every segment of society. I don't care if you're a Supreme Court justice or homeless or, you know, what you really got to worry about, not them coming getting your guns, is coming taking your weed. Everybody should be freaked out from that.
And I have a great method of finding my weed.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yep. Well, I can't. It's a secret.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll tell me later, huh? Off screen. Because I can't find no damn weed around.
I think we can help you with that down here in San Diego, Cheech, at March and Ash. We've got plenty of weed down here for you. Now, what about when you look back, knowing what you know now about where the culture is, what would you have told your younger selves? Or what would you want? What would you tell your younger selves knowing where weed is and the culture is today?
One thing about being stoned is that I forget the question. by the time I come up with the answer, I've forgotten the question.
I'll phrase it differently. Did you ever see this really happening where you were making movies about selling weed out of an ice cream truck and now you're selling your weed out of San Diego's premier dispensary group?
Absolutely. I just wonder what took them so long. Because I've always, Tommy and I both have acted under the belief that it is legal. You know,
so it is. It's morally legal. And morally, being morally correct is much better than being legally correct.
Or having no weed.
Yeah, because there's if you talk about laws, there are some even right now there's some pretty weird laws on the books right now that even like I've been riding around doing promotion with this Maddie and his mom and dads. He had a couple of dads are all cops, and one thing about riding with Maddie, he doesn't obey any laws. Any traffic laws, you know, when you pull up to the freeway and there's a red light,
just blow right through. He
blows right through as if he's colorblind, and that's the way he drives because they're supposed to enforce the law. Well, then they don't think the law depends on them.
Right, of course. Yeah. So on the flip side, though, when you look at the current landscape and you think about how certain times of your career you got shit for embracing the culture so much, do you ever look back and have a little bit of I told you so on some of those execs who said you're too stoned or this culture is illegal, stigmatized it, if you will,
we were on Bill O'Reilly one time and I said something because I like I say, you know, we hardly talk, and when we do it's usually on interviews, and I come up with these great ideas that I can't remember, but I remember saying to I think it was Bill O'Reilly, he said, what if we're right? That was at the height of everything was illegal and the bongs were illegal and everything. And I said, what if we're right? What if they find out that marijuana is not only should be legal, but it should be essential. And that's what it is.
It's essential. You're absolutely correct. Yep. Now let's talk about your brands. You both have individual brands. We'll start with you, Cheech. What can you tell us about Cheech's Stash?
Well, that's better than all other brands. That's all you have to know. When you see the Cheech name on the thing,
quintessential beanie. I'm in.
And you notice I don't disagree with him.
Yeah, because you get it for free.
No, you know why?
Why?
Because everybody thinks I'm Cheech. And so when he promotes his brand, he's promoting my brand
at the same time. It's synonymous.
Not only does they think he's Cheech, they think I'm Chong's dad. He tells me that all. You look just like my pop.
You do.
I look like everybody's pop. At this stage, everybody's pop or their uncle or their grandfather or their dad.
And when all you got to do now is just ignore people when they talk to you.
Huh?
Like that. Then you'd be just like my dad. My dad, I don't know if he was deaf or bored or what.
Deaf.
But you'd ask him a question and he wouldn't answer right away.
Yeah.
If ever. Dad, can I borrow the car tonight? I'd get no answer.
Just nothing.
Not yes, no, or nothing.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then I had to get all dressed up to go in it. Dad, can I use the car? And if he was in a good mood, he'd just take out the keys and dangle them.
Looking for the sweet spot with my wife, who not only is Russian, and she speaks with a Russian accent, but mumbles, you know. So I look at kind of what I think she wanted to say or hear what she wanted to say, and then I either ignore it or say, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, what was that? You know, but usually it's like, that's good.
But never accuse her of mumbling. I've made that mistake.
Are you fucking kidding?
Oh, my God.
I value my life more.
Yeah, either that or did you gain weight?
No.
You never want to say that.
No.
No, never in a million. It's funny because my wife, the other day, we had a Volvo parked in front of our house and we ended up having to get it towed. But she's like, what's up with the Volvo? And she had to say it four times before I understood that she was saying Volvo. I needed Cheech's stash at that moment, man.
Oh, you know,
I just finished watching the Desi and Lucy story.
How was that?
It's incredible because really? They had a million home movies.
Wow.
And Desi was such a genius.
I love him.
Such a genius and such a Latino. Oh, man, you got to see the show.
Okay, I'm going to watch it tonight.
It is so good. I can't tell you anything more about it.
Okay.
God, I've been watching it like three nights now.
Don't speak then.
Cheech, what's your favorite type of strain? You mentioned indica earlier, but when it comes to your stash, do you have a preference?
You know, I like dabs more than anything because it's helped me along with my recovery. Like I just got a new knee, a knee replacement.
Damn.
And it was the second one I had. The first one, they put me on opioids to get over it. Terrible idea, terrible experience. It didn't help my pain and it got me addicted to how to kind of get over it. So I waited 10 years to get the next one. And so when I did, I said, I'm not going to do that again. But so dabs came into the picture. I said, I'm going to try that. Perfect.
Damn.
Perfect. Took away the pain. I didn't have any kind of addiction problems. As soon as I stopped it, no problem. And it was a body high that really solved every aches and pain that I had. And it was 2 months recovery rather than six.
Do you have the full kit with the torch or do you have those units kind of like the puff coats?
Both.
Ends. Both. That's your preferred delivery method now?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what kind of role has, obviously I know it's been your life, but has there ever been times where cannabis hasn't been part of your life or did take a break?
That was called going to Canada.
Going to Canada to meet Tommy.
Yeah, well, before I met him, I was on my way to Canada, and the law was after me. Long story short, but I was a meditator. I still am a meditator. Transcendental meditation since I was 19. Do it most every day.
It's amazing.
But there's periods where I like I need to smoke some dope, and I would do. Then come back to but always meditation in the middle of it. All of that. So. That's
yeah, and you're a big meditator as well, right, Tommy?
Well,
masturbator.
Masturbator. Got it confused. It was masturbator, not meditator. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
A lot of people get that confused. That's what Cheech was, too. He was a great masturbator. Yeah.
He was a great masturbator, and then he transitioned into meditation. That's tremendous. Which does have its relaxing, you know, masturbation can be relaxing.
It's a form of meditation.
It yes, sure it is. It's
It relieves anxiety.
Yeah,
it does.
It relieves desire.
Need, yeah, desire.
No, it should be legal.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Not in public or on a Zoom call.
Pee Wee Herman and a few people found out it wasn't illegal.
Yeah, well, there's certain. It wasn't legal. There's a time and there's a place.
Yeah,
that's true.
Who was the guy on CNN that was jerking off while he was on a Zoom call?
On a Zoom? Oh my God,
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey
Toobin. Yes. Yeah. Know his name and keep spreading that.
Dude.
That poor guy.
You know?
How could you be so dumb, though?
I don't know. I don't know that one. I know the answer to most things, but not that one.
Not that one.
No, Cheech got busted for indecent exposure one time, though.
Well, oh.
But they dropped the charges for lack of evidence.
That's tremendous. When you were talking, though, Cheech, about your opiate deal, it made me think about this new show I've been hooked on. Have you been watching Dope Sick?
No.
Oh, dude.
It was good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Is it good?
It's Michael Keaton. Keaton's in it, and it talks about the whole OxyContin, the introduction of OxyContin into the market, and how they were saying it was non-addictive. So
less than 1%.
And I think about that myself, where I'm watching this, I'm like, watch, I've lived this, you know, in real time with friends and family, and cannabis has been such a resource for me when it comes to staying away from that stuff. So I feel you there.
What was the worst part of it is not only did it not take away the pain, no matter how many you took, at the end of the first, I was taking 5 Oxycontins at a time.
Damn.
Nothing.
Zippo,
and you get depressed as a mother. I just get to, and like, I don't want to do this. And then all of a sudden the pain stopped, but the addiction kind of went on.
The dabs are a good alternative, dabs. Needless to say. Living that dab life. Now, how about you, Tommy? What's your preferred method? You were showing some tinctures earlier.
I'm back to smoking joints.
Pre-rolls.
I've done everything, but I don't like to work when I'm trying to relax.
you got a good point there.
Although I figured out a workout that you can do with your hands, like if you need a workout and you don't want to get out of the chair, I got a whole method. In fact, I'm going to write a book about it as soon as I can find the paper. But I'm going to. I use a grinder.
Grinder, that's your exercise.
I love my grinder.
Yeah, and then that's why I make joints. And then I like, because then when you get older, you lose your
dexterity,
dexterity, and fine, so rolling stuff. The joints, it's really good for the brain.
It's good, yeah. You gotta remember
what side the sticky paper's on.
All that stuff.
Because you lick the wrong side and it falls apart on you.
Of course.
So you gotta. There's a lot to say about joint rolling.
Wisdom from Fung.
That's what I got here, right here. And then
look at that thing. That thing is humongous.
This is an NFT. You know, this is going to be worth about $15 million. Ooh. Right here in my hand. Right
what now, is it? Oh, that's your NFT?
Yeah, one of them.
One of them. You're in the NFT space. I love it.
This here is an NFT. This is a necklace. I got this idea from Cheech. Cheech used to wear this beautiful little bone necklace when I first met him. Oh. And so I always envied it, I always wanted one. And so when I had a chance, I got one. And this is also a cigarette or a joint holder. You smoke out of it.
Oh, that's and you've got it in the NFT space?
Well, what I'm going to do is sign it and then photograph it. And then it'll be worth, not when we're alive. But no. I just threw that disclaimer in. Yeah, and it's part of me being, or both Cheech and I being the wealthiest men on the planet.
Of just course, this,
I sell a few of these at a few million bucks a piece.
Yeah,
you're frigging crushing it
now. Yeah,
we're crushing it.
Make us rich.
Yeah.
What about Tommy Chong's cannabis? Can you tell us a little bit about that, Tommy, as far as...
It's so amazing. It is so amazing. Because it's not just the cannabis. What it is, it's the name. When you put Cheech and Chong, just the name itself, it has a vibration that not only makes the weed strong and powerful, but it makes the weed make you want to laugh. You know, it makes you want to listen, and it makes you want to listen to really good music, you know, and it makes you want to stay home, even, you know, during the, there's no reason to go out, you know. There's a lot of people, you know, their problem with the lockdown was that they couldn't stand living in the space they're at, you know.
Right.
And so they would go to the bar or whatever they, you know, wherever they were comfortable at. But when you're like Cheech and Chong, now both of us have got beautiful pads that to stay home is almost like a big reward. It's a luxury.
It's your retreat.
Yeah. So
we want to have a lot of those around the world.
Oh, absolutely.
It'd be an example. Absolutely.
And remember, we used to joke about having home for wayward 17-year-olds. Remember that halfway house?
No, I don't remember that.
I don't have a follow-up question on that
As well you shouldn't.
So about that grinder and that motion, does that help you with your meditating?
No, it's smoking.
I was changing the subject. That was a joke about masturbating and straining grip with a grinder, changing the subject grip. There.
I totally he has one that. Of those. It's a special grinder.
Gotcha.
I can't masturbate anymore. So it's out of my realm.
We need thought. To know this, Tommy.
Hey, listen, when I see porn on TV, I leave the room.
You leave the room.
No reason to stay.
It's just a waste. Exactly. It's like a sunset you can't see.
Yeah.
I'm saving energy here.
Let's talk about your first cannabis comic book, which is coming out next year. Ooh. Can you tell us about Cheech and Chong Chronicle the History of Weed? That sounds pretty amazing.
Well, it just goes all over the place, and it puts it to what the story is historically, and our part in it, because we've kind of, the spirit of Cheech and Chong has materialized throughout the ages, whether it's Cheech and Chong or something else, or Chong and Cheech or whatever, you know, and but it has appeared throughout the ages in one form or another,
and it takes you through the entire history of the plant,
entire history of the of weed and its association with the human beings.
Back in the day, you know, when I was a kid, you know, comic books were the big deal. You know, and everybody had, or, you know, all the hip kids had a collection of comic books.
Of course.
And I've always loved comic books. I grew up with them. And so when we get this illustrated book, Cheech and Chong, I haven't seen it yet.
It's good. I've seen a lot of it. It's very good.
But yeah, I mean, I love books and I'm going blind. So it's weird. It's weird because, you know, I need someone to read to me, or I need special glasses, you know, and it's not comforting, but owning the book itself is comforting.
Of course. And,
our thing, it's just another NFT. Really.
Another opportunity, another NFT opportunity for you.
That's right.
To make money while we sleep and make Cheech and Chong the world's richest people.
We're on the path. We'll get there. Now, Cheech, you also mentioned when I was here on camera that you noticed the artwork. And I know that you have a tremendous passion and I believe a touring collection of Chicano art. You've had that for many years.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the Cheech Marin Center for Chicano Art and Culture. When's that coming to fruition? I understand that's in the works.
That will open in Riverside, California on May 8th, the next May 8th.
May 8th of 2022.
22 will be the grand opening. It'll be, everybody's invited to come down and see this collection. I have this collection I put together over, 40, 50 years ago. Through the years, I've toured it throughout the country at all major museums, Smithsonian, the Young, the LACMA, everyone, all those, and it's been touring around the country, and now it's going to find a final resting place in Riverside, California, because they've offered me a building, a beautiful building to house the collection. It's a 66,000, and check this out, 420 square feet. Is that meant to happen or what?
Of course it is. Of course it is.
And so I'm really proud of it. It's going to be a wonderful cultural center that'll open May 8th and it'll be open to everybody. We hope everybody comes and enjoys the art.
Yeah, talk about a legacy.
You know.
Woof.
You know, talk about a tax exemption.
Yeah.
I won't be able to take advantage of it if I live to be 300, you know.
Yeah, of course. Now, I'm curious, with San Diego's proximity to Mexico and everything, do you guys have any profound San Diego memories or going down to Baja, you know, early in your career or even more recently?
Oh, yeah. I used to go down in high school, and that's when you found out how really fast you were running. Alto, alto.
So you came down here and you partied a lot down in Mexico when you were in high school, like a lot
amount,
of us.
You know, a fair amount.
Of course.
As long as, you know, I partied the adequate teenage amount.
Yes, of course.
And, you know, but I always went to Baja because I had cousins in Tecate. And they were the uncle was the head engineer of the Tecate beer plant. And so we went down there a lot. So
that's amazing.
But I've traveled all over Mexico, just about every state through my long and illustrious lifetime. And I love Mexico. I love this. I love the border region. I mean, that's the marshes between two cultures. And that's where the growth takes place. You know, that's what do they call those guys that watch growth? Growth guys,
cultural experts,
cultural growth guys. And that's where in the tide pools is where evolution happens. And that's the tide pools there, right there.
Yeah, I'm proud of our relations with the border here in San Diego. I promote it. I even took my son down just the other day. We walked across just to go down to Revolucion.
Yeah.
And I showed him all the haunts from back in the day, like Rio Rita and Club A and all that stuff. It was like, oh my gosh.
You see Lucy at the what? Where she danced at the was the club? I can't remember, but yeah, for all times. And it's cool, has great restaurants.
Quite the scene right now, especially
great restaurant scene. I mean, it's like, you know,
wine country.
I'm going down to visit two of the artists, and they live outside of Guadalajara, and they have a big art scene going and a wine thing going there. So it's a wonderful place to visit.
I completely concur. Visit, absolutely. And hopefully it's not a 5.5 hour process getting back across the border.
It was that way the other day when going down to Riverside. So, I mean, how different are we?
Doesn't matter what freeway you're on. What about you, Tommy? Any profound Mexico memories? Or
I didn't know what a Mexican was till I met Cheech. I'm serious. And even when I met Cheech, we didn't think he was Mexican, not in Canada. And right. he wasn't letting anybody know either. He was Richard Marin.
Yeah.
Richard Marin. I didn't realize Cheech was Mexican or how Mexican he was until we started performing down in LA. We both found out in a big hurry.
Really quick.
We sure did.
Everybody in Canada thought I was Indian, of one either East Indian or American native. That was like, hey, hop in, chief. You know.
But Mexico, I love Mexico. Oh, I always have. I'm Canadian, you know. So
yeah, of course.
That's our natural migration, you know. If you got any kind of coin whatsoever in Canada, you migrate down to Mexico every winter. And you stay down there until you learn Spanish, and then you come back.
And weren't you working at a strip club up in Canada at the time in Vancouver, like your dad's strip club, Tommy, or something, when you first met?
I'd changed the strip club into an improvisational theater club.
Yeah. Okay.
And we had just been operating. I think we'd just been performing for about maybe a week, 2 weeks. There was a whole theater group, and there was like a couple of funny guys, me and this ex-doorman named Dave. And then we had Rick Lenz. He was a straight man from an actor. He had acting experience. He was an older actor. But his wife
and strippers.
Didn't know. His wife didn't know that he was working in a strip club. She thought he was in a little neighborhood theater company. Then we got a front page picture of Rick with two chicks with the boobs in his ears on the front page of the Vancouver paper. And so the wife literally hauled him by the ear out of the club. And yeah. And he got fired. Well, he quit. And so then I was looking for a straight someone to take his place. And this mutual friend of ours, this Russian name, Ihor Tordak, is that
Ihor Todoruk.
Ihor Todoruk. Yeah. He says, I got just the guy you need. And so he said, come on out to my office out in Richmond and meet him. And so I drove out there with my girlfriend and my little baby, and I met Cheech for the first time. Yep. That's where I met him.
And we both had him. The same thought when we saw each other. What in the hell is this guy?
Sizing each other up.
Yeah.
Again, I never really thought about it, yeah. You know, because I am another, you know, so, yeah. So anyway, I told Cheech what I had going at the club, and so he said, okay, I'll come down and check it out. And so he showed up, I think that night, Saturday night. I think we met during the week, and then Saturday night you showed up with this gorgeous woman. She was quite gorgeous, long, full-length mink coat. And we're backstage looking through the curtains, and says, oh, there's the guy. It wasn't Cheech, he was Richard. Well, not even Richard, it was, there's the guy from Richmond. And he came in and he had this tall, gorgeous lady with him. And right away in my mind, I said, he's hired.
And how are you rolling so strong, Cheech? Because you were on the run, right, at that point? I mean, or were you well-established within that community?
With the ladies. With the ladies.
With the ladies.
Yeah.
Animal magnetism. That's the only way I can explain it. And it works every time.
Sarah. Sarah.
Sarah. And you remember. You never forget, Sarah Mitzenbaum.
You won't forget this one.
Sarah Mitzenbaum. She doesn't want to talk about it because of his Russian. We'll kill him. But
yeah, not too loud. Not too loud. That's funny. No.
So I don't call my ex-wives ex-wives anymore. Because that sounds like cancel culture. I call them former wives.
Former wives.
Former wives.
Former wives.
I like that. I like that.
I thought I also that one time smoking weed.
Another. That's a little bit close to farmer.
Enhancement. Yeah.
Former is a little close to farmer.
Yeah. Well, either way, it helps me.
Have you ever seen farmersonly.com? Have you ever seen that?
No.
It didn't look like that. Ad.
Man, I mean, hey, listen.
A couple of them had horns. I don't know what that was about.
Listen, they can lift a bale of hay, though.
Yeah, you know.
So when you guys finally synced up, Cheech, did you have aspirations of being a performer, or were you just trying to get out of the States at that point and not get drafted?
No, I was always a performer.
Always a performer.
Yeah, I made my first record at 5 years old. I was a singer. And the bands were, then I learned how to play guitar. Then during the folk scare of the 60s, I was involved in that. And then, you know, R&B bands and whatever thing. And then, but I could sing Johnny Mathis and the Grateful Dead at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? So when I joined Tommy, I was a singer, but I told him I was this wonderful improv actor. And that was an improv right there, you know.
Even that was an improv.
So what I figured
out... Well, we had only been doing the show for about maybe a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we were... I was all learning how to act, too. In fact, did you take a class with Maisie? Were you there when we had an improv class?
No. She was before me.
Maisie. Yeah, she was before
Chinese
you.
Girl?
Japanese,
yeah.
Japanese, and she'd been connected with the committee.
Oh, the committee, yeah.
And so she gave us she kind of showed us what we were doing. He explained what we were doing, you know, and then we started doing the improv theater.
What we were doing, right, really, when I realized at the end, is we were doing hippie burlesque. It was classic burlesque.
Yeah,
strippers and comedians. Only the comedians in this instance were improv actors, but it was the same format.
Had this vaudevillian feel.
Yeah.
Hey, and vaudeville, that's where they had the bits.
Yeah.
All those, the great bits were during that era.
Vaudeville routines, yeah. So that's what we did.
And it sounds like you worked on it a lot too. You took classes together, and it was a discipline as well for the two of you.
We did it every night.
Just in the beginning. Yeah,
at the beginning.
Just in the beginning, and then as soon as we started finding out that we could make money, we did the classes as we did the show.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, and that came class down went really well tonight. Did you see that blonde on the third row?
And then you synced up, obviously, with Lou Adler, and the rest is history down here in Los Angeles. Yeah, absolutely. I was tripping seeing Lou at the Dodgers game, sitting right behind home plate. Right,
he was in every shot.
Every shot. I was like, that's so Lou Adler. That's friggin' awesome.
Isn't it? Isn't it so Lou.
That's tremendous. Well, this has been.
He's running this program called Painted Turtle. It was an outgrowth of Paul Newman's Cole Nawal Gang Camp, and he helps underprivileged kids at this camp, Painted Turtle. I just did a thing for them, and it's a really wonderful organization. It helps kids all throughout Southern California, and so Painted Turtle. Remember it when it opens up again. The camp will be on.
Oh, that's amazing. And you can find it obviously online and contribute as needed.
The Painted Turtle.
I love it. And I can't thank you guys enough for this opportunity and just being able to hang, talk some story, talk your weed. Tommy, I know you're going to be in San Diego at March and Ash on December 17th at their Chula Vista location down in the South Bay. That'll be huge. People are going to go crazy for that. And hopefully we can get you down here, Cheech, sometime as well.
I'll be out of the country working on my profession.
That other job, that acting job.
Yeah, acting gig, whatever they want, you know, however that goes. I'll just make it up when I get there.
But you were talking, I just wanted to close by saying, you were saying earlier about no exes and it's former wives. And I know there were seasons during this journey where you guys may have looked at yourselves as former friends. And the fact that you guys have this connection today, it's a beautiful thing seeing you guys so connected and this brotherhood so alive.
It is a beautiful thing. I think it's probably the most sustaining relationship of both of our lives. And it's always, I always knew we would come back together. We were never really apart because even we communicated during the time we were separate, not much, but some enough to know that we were still alive and check in on each other. But it's really nice now. I like the place we're in now.
It's very cool to see. And Tommy, any final words from you as we say goodbye here?
Have we started recording yet?
No. We'll start recording in about 5 minutes, okay?
Okay. What's your name again?
My name's Chris. It was a pleasure meeting you. Chris. And yeah.
He's the paper boy, the guy that delivers the paper every day.
Chris, yes.
Hey, we got to get on. I'd like to be on your show sometime.
It'd be great to have you on. It'd be great to talk to you and have you on to talk about Tommy Chong's cannabis and all that stuff.
Cheech has got an art place in.
I think he's heard
in Riverside.
That's what I hear.
May 8th. And I love this painting behind these frogs. I really like it a lot.
Thank you.
You've heard it here. Cheech's place is only a front. It's a tax dodge.
It's a tax dodge.
So it's Cheech and Chong. So help us accomplish this tax job. And we can show you how to do it.
Absolutely. Make us the wealthiest people on the planet.
I'll start it right now. Where can I get your t-shirt, Tommy? I think that shirt is amazing that you're wearing.
This one?
It's a Cheech and Chong with a giant plant.
Go on, Google it.
Google it.
Hey, go Google yourself.
I'll Google you guys and do a better job with interviewing you next time.
I Googled him twice last night.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Did he cry?
You were asleep. Did he cry out? You were asleep. Kind of moaned a little bit, but that's it.
Oh, madness. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did, and I certainly encourage you to visit with Tommy Chong. He's going to be down at March and Ash, Chula Vista, the location off of Telegraph Canyon Road, December 17th, marchandash.com for more information there. And that was a lot of fun. I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. I certainly encourage you to subscribe and also check out the show on Patreon. We're going to start doing stuff different up there. It's Patreon, Patreon.com / Cantori, Cantore. I have an interview up there right now with Dana from the Dana and Jason show over at, they were at 94.9. They actually replaced the show I was on, but now Dana runs an amazing organization in town helping people experiencing homelessness. It's called We See You San Diego. So I have that interview up there. And then next week, I'm going to release an interview with Mikey Esparza, Mikey from the Mikey Show. And then here, I'll have an interview coming up with Ben from Band of Horses. So we've got some really cool stuff coming up in the form of audio all here on the Cantori Show or whatever we call it. All right. I hope you're doing well and being kind to yourself and others and just being cool. All right. Until next time.